Okay, I think we're ready to go. Good afternoon. Welcome to day three of Build. Thank you for being one of the tough folks who have survived two days of blizzards of APIs and SDKs and new development patterns. Consider this a bit of an oasis in that blizzard of information. Today we're not going to really look a whole lot at code. There'll be a little bit of code. This is really more about kind of the end game, which is making money off of all this work that we're all doing and having some fun along the way. My name is Jim Epps. I'm in the office marketing team, the technical product marketing folks. And my whole role is around go-to-market, the office store, monetization, awareness campaigns, and that sort of thing. And we really are just starting to crank up that machine now that we have a good collection of solutions in our catalog. One thing I want to be very clear about is I don't presume for a minute to tell you folks how to make money. Most of you are successful folks. You make money in this business already. What I'm going to talk about today are new tools and new services to help you take advantage of the platform that we're providing you. So consider this a set of disclosures and announcements around new go-to-market solutions that we're going to be providing you if you partner with us. So the table of contents, the first two we're going to run through very quickly. It's mostly about the state of the world today. Where I really want to spend most of my time is that third line, addressing the customer lifecycle. That is all the new, there'll be all net new stuff that I'm going to be showing you today. So the opportunity, just kind of setting things up. First of all, why we need you. Now, if you listen to Satya's third quarter earnings call, we disclosed for the very first time that we have about 50 million active users on Office 365 commercial. We've been disclosing the consumer numbers, which are now about 12 million. So that's about 62 million people, give or take. It changes very rapidly. It's already out of date on the cloud. Now, in light of a $1.2 billion person or customer business, that's quite small, actually. It's about 5%. And even though it's doubling quarter over quarter, or year over year, I'm sorry, for seven quarters in a row, we still have a long ways to go. We need you as developers to persuade folks to move from a legacy on-premises solution to the cloud. And one of the things they need to be assured of is there's going to be a good, rich selection of extensibility and customization and vertical solutions that they can plug into their cloud solution very quickly. So we need you to get there. Likewise, we have many people who are in older versions of Office, pre-2013, which does not support this new model. And so we need to persuade those people, hey, Excel is not just Excel. It's not just another release of Excel or Word or SharePoint, for that matter. It has a whole world of new capabilities that you gain only by migrating to the new stuff. So we need you to take these people on that journey. Now, we're also going to argue that you need us. Now, I have a whole deck to try to persuade you of that, so I'm just going to leave it there. Hopefully the next 55 minutes will help you be persuaded of that fact. So don't rely on me and what I think. Let's look at a couple of our key partners today and what they say. This is Insightly, a relatively new partner on our platform. They're one of the leading Google Apps partners, actually. If you go to Google Apps Marketplace, they're right there top, front, and center as a leading CRM solution on Google Apps. When they joined us, what they told us was the minute they built an app or an add-in, I should say, that's the new nomenclature, that bridges Insightly to Outlook, their retention rate more than doubled, 130% increase. And it makes a lot of sense when you think about it, because where does the data live that CRM systems care about? It lives in email, contacts, calendars, all the data that you shared back and forth and talking about contracts and negotiations, all those records, those are all stored in Outlook, as well as IM sessions. And so they found that by placing the Insightly solution next to Outlook through an add-in, their retention massively increased. So that's a case where they found tremendous value in partnering with Office. Here's another partner. This is Skylight Systems, a small ISV out of Southern California. Dave Chenault, a very charming guy. He couldn't be here because we couldn't get him a pass for the event. I feel pretty bad about that. But he still loves us enough to let us use this quote. He is getting customers all over the world. If you read the quote, we're getting customers in Singapore, Australia, India, Europe. They would never have been able to get those deals if not for the Office platform and the Office store. And so he has a shout out to the people in the room because he can't be here himself. His shout out is, if I were looking at you in the audience, I would tell them this is a real opportunity. Take your skills, change the world, make some apps, and hit it running. And so he is a huge fan of this model. As nascent as it is, and it's only gonna get better. So just gonna run through a few numbers, then we're gonna jump into all the good new stuff that we're announcing today. You probably have seen this slide if you went to Kickoff with Jeremy Thake. 1.2 billion users, as I said. Over 100 million of them now are on Android and iOS. That's how many downloads we've had on those platforms. Highly immersive, 2 to 3 hours a day in office. You've probably seen these kinds of numbers bandied about. The number that really gets me, though, is that last one, that 470 petabytes of data. I had to look up what a petabyte actually was. It's a billion megabytes. That's 470 billion megabytes of data. And we're only 5% down the road in terms of moving people to the cloud. And to think about that, I wanted to figure out, what does that mean in real terms? If you were to shoot a 1080p high-definition video, that video could run for 20,000 years on 470 petabytes data storage facility. So you could start shooting when the Chinese invented pottery, take you through Stonehenge, the pyramids, the Roman Empire, all the way to the Middle Ages, man lands on the moon, that video would still be playing. That's how big our data store already is. So imagine how much rich information is in there for your applications to leverage. And you've seen this, may have seen this slide as well. To enable you to light up all that data with your solutions, we want to have Office on every platform. We're largely done with that exercise. We're still filling out some of the endpoints, whether it's mobile, Android, iOS, tablet, or on-premises, on the web, and as well as enabling extensibility endpoints. We're not done with that piece yet, but we're getting pretty far down the path quite rapidly, as we'll see in just a minute. And then, of course, creating unified APIs for you to pull that data out in one standard way, one standard auth flow, whether it's mail, file, calendar, contacts, all over the web using web standard tools and protocols. We also announced this week the developer program to help communicate with you on all these new things we're doing, as well as a goodie bag of stuff like a one-year free dev tenancy, some email campaign tools, which I'll talk about in just a minute, as well as enrollment in a newsletter to keep up with all the stuff we keep pumping out in ever more rapid fashion. And some Office add-in data as well. 3 million monthly users in March. That's more than a doubling in the last 6 months. Likewise with SharePoint, almost 1 million users in March, also almost doubling in 6 months. It's not so much the numbers themselves. They're still not enormous in the context of a 1.2 billion user business. The key point I think I want to leave with you is it's about twice as fast, actually, as Office itself is growing. So while we're starting again, we're behind, we're playing catch up, we are rapidly outstripping the growth of the migration to the cloud with these add-ins. So the awareness and the adoption is growing. In terms of monetization, most of the things here I'm going to show you have been in place for some time, so I'm going to go through it very quickly. It isn't just an ISV story, although clearly that's what we're going to talk about today primarily. It's also a systems integrator story. If people don't want to be in a multi-tenant solution like Office 365, they can take their on-premises software and stick it up on a virtual machine and send it up spinning in Azure and then federate it through Azure Active Directory. They can do data migration services. You can build mobile solutions. So it's not just an ISV story, but most of my talk today will be about building things as an ISV that tie into the Office platform. We have had historically over the last several years a couple of delivery mechanisms. One is the Office Store. That's kind of the all singing, all dancing solution where we have a catalog, we have licensing, we manage all the commerce, we collect and pay the taxes. We essentially manage everything for you. We curate the apps to make sure that they're very high quality and meet all the security and reliability standards that we impose. A lesser level of engagement on your part is where you negotiate the transaction directly with the customer and you sideload the solutions into a SharePoint add-in catalog. That's also been in place for some time. What's just recently been added is an even less sort of high-touch way of engaging with us, where you may have a completely freestanding web solution, and all you've really done is federated with Azure Active Directory, and that tile then can show up in the Office 365 app launcher. So you have a catalog of stuff that any Office 365 user can access, so it creates visibility and stickiness for your solution. So you can go all the way from whole hog to store, kind of a medium route through the sideloading approach in the SharePoint catalog, or strictly just have an independent solution that is registered as a single sign-on solution and maybe calls a couple of Office APIs, or maybe it doesn't. So Some store facts and figures. These are all kind of housekeeping where we are today before we get to the fun stuff. We've only been at it for about 2 years, and we already are almost at 10 million downloads. That's not so bad. We want to get that number up. You know, I'm going to add some zeros to that for sure. But that's pretty good from where we've come. And most of that activity has been in the last 3 to 6 months. So we are achieving some kind of a hockey stick trajectory, which is great. 350 new submissions a month. Some of those for sure are bug fixes. Some of them are updates to existing solutions in the catalog. And some of them are adding another market, a foreign country, a foreign language version of an English language app. But quite a few of those are also new things that are being added every month. In the validation time, and I have the lead validation leader down right here in the front row, they've gotten that down to 1.3 days. A lot of it has been automated, so even though they put it through a very extensive set of tests to make sure that the user, the end customer, can be assured this thing won't bring in viruses, it'll be touch-friendly, all the things you'd want to see from a really serious enterprise-level solution, they now have it down to 1.3 days. As far as the catalog, almost 1,500 in the catalog now, and about 750 active developers. Again, those are numbers that are continuing to grow every month. And we're starting to sign some very major players in the cloud add-in solution space. So we're going after the Google partners. We're going after the Salesforce partners. I mentioned Insightly. DocuSign, of course, is all over the place. And we even are incubating some people, like PickHitMe is a small Scandinavian startup that our own developer platform evangelism team helped to get their add-in loaded and is now a leading image injection solution for our Sway product. They're getting hundreds of thousands of image downloads per month through their integration with Sway. So we're building them in-house, we're incubating people, and we're also partnering with some of the leaders out in the space. The last thing I want to leave you with is the types of solutions in our catalog today, our third-party catalog. We started out, frankly, we just wanted to get some things in there, so we had a lot of more consumer-y dictionaries and thesauri, sort of widget-y sort of stuff, which is certainly valuable to the individual user, but we really wanted to tilt the offerings towards the enterprise and small business. And so if you look now, over 900 of the solutions in the store are SharePoint solutions, which are all about collaboration and organizational level solutions. And now that we have the 365 story as well, you can expect to see another column on the far right of many, many SaaS apps and Azure AD apps and a whole collection of enterprise things that already exist and just have to be federated or just have to start calling some Office APIs. Finally, licensing. This, again, has been a story that's been in place for some time. We have free, we have trial. You can stipulate the length of the trial. We have paid either perpetual or subscription. And we can also charge per seat. You can cap that seat count at a certain number so that the price flattens out. You can also do site licensing for SharePoint or organizational-wide licensing for something like a mail app that's tied to an Exchange server. And so this has been around a while. We are making investments somewhat down the road, later this year, early next year, to expand the commerce components. But most of what I'm talking about today is in the front end of the customer acquisition funnel. And that's kind of the point of this whole talk, is the best way that we think to help you make money is first to let everyone know that this whole program exists and to get them engaged with it. Because people don't like to change, right? Culture change is hard. A new way of doing things is scary. And part of our job is to persuade our customers it's okay to install these things, it's okay to try them, and once you try them, people really come to love them. But it's not enough to get the solution just in the store. If you build it, sorry for the pun, they will come if you do two things. And one is, you have to help fill the funnel with us, and the tools I'm showing you today will be all about how you do that. The second thing is, once you get them in the funnel, you need to engage them. You need to talk to them. You need to remind them. You need to offer them things and to convert a trial user into a long-time and loyal customer. So the rest of this, now we're into the new stuff. The rest of this presentation is really about the things we're doing at the top three layers of the funnel here, awareness, trial, and engagement, to help you take that huge world of customers all over the world who may barely be aware that there's even this thing called the cloud model, the add-in model, and to convert them to buying customers. So we have four investments at the first layer of the funnel, which is awareness. And the very first thing I'm going to show you today is a brand new site called our betterwithoffice.com. So without further ado, let's see. maybe a little to do. Okay, this is a brand new site. It just went live yesterday. And this is a site where we're going to host your videos about with your customers telling your story. And the great thing about this is we are front-ending the cost of the first dozen or so videos. We're targeting the SMB space first, and then we're going to pivot to the educational space. We go out, we storyboard it, we work with the ISV and the customer to create a really compelling story, and then we tape it and put it up on the site. We're going to localize the videos and distribute them to our worldwide sales and marketing folks. And we're also going to embed these videos in various marketing services all across Office. They'll be in demos, they'll be in conferences like this. And the great thing about this is, if you have a salesperson in France who has just a little bit of knowledge about this whole add-in model, to some extent it's a bit daunting to learn a demo and be afraid they're not going to do it right. So the weakest link is the quality of the person presenting your solution. A video takes all the risk out. You just hit play and you sit back and they see this, and it's quite compelling. So we're going to just walk through this site really quickly. What we have here is we have a landing page. There's a featured story, which we can promote and demote at any time we want. We own the whole back end in Office Marketing. And then there'll be a series of listings down here. So right now we have two, right? We're just getting started. We'll have a third over the weekend. And then again, we'll have six or more by the end of this fiscal year at the end of June. Then we'll pivot again to EDU. And then we'll start going out and looking for a more scale model where we partner with you, and maybe some of it's do-it-yourself, but we'll still do the back-end video editing and post-production to make these really look professional. So then we move to a listing. This is the dedicated page that every ISV would get who participates in this program. And again, we're going to start small, and we're going to grow over time. And it tells the customer's story, the customer's experience using a third-party solution with Office. So let's go ahead and just watch a video, and I'll show you a bit more about this site.
I wasn't really a great fit for your regular corporate culture. And really what was important to me was to do great work, have fun, and make money. And so that was the birth of Traction On Demand. And so over the last 5 years, we've bootstrapped this business from one person up to just over 130 today. We're the largest implementer of Salesforce.com in Canada.
We've been working with Traction On Demand for a couple years, and they're a very top cloud partner of Salesforce and other key technologies.
So at Traction, we have this whole notion of get it done. What that means is, under any circumstances, find a way to accomplish the task. While I'd love to say we're always looking for efficiency in everything we do, sometimes get it done just means work harder, not necessarily smarter. If you start multiplying the number of, you know, having to go find a file or who has this version and all this noise, it costs us a tremendous amount of time. It's the time that eats into people's personal lives. The key tools that we use in the Office 365 stack include Outlook, Excel, Word, and PowerPoint. I'd say my team spend about a third of their time working within those applications on a day-to-day basis. With Office 365, we're able to find little niddly things that can cost us a ton of time.
Cirrus Insight is a sales acceleration platform that connects Salesforce with Office 365. And when we first started getting ready to launch our add-in, we connected with Traction On Demand and asked them, what do you want to see? And they said, we want to be able to track email opens, track our customer relationships, have our events sync, create and update leads and contacts. So they want to really have a 360-degree view, but all without leaving Office 365.
Cirrus Insight gives us the ability to see everything about our customers from one place. It gives us the ability to get more done in less time, focus our interactions on meaningful business value, and have more fun.
All they had to do was go to the Office store to install Cirrus Insight once, and it instantly works across all their devices.
But we've kind of embraced this whole post-it note culture. You can rip as many ideas, as many thoughts as you want, throw them up in the wall, and then see what comes off. The challenge with this is post-its are very difficult to send to people in Montreal, Los Angeles, or Portland. So we use technologies to get those post-it notes back and forth.
Hey, Jenna, welcome to our event.
We even have double robots rolling around here, autonomously leading people for a conversation. Once we started using Office 365, we started realizing that we no longer needed top-of-the-line i7, super high RAM machines. In fact, surfaces now proliferate traction. It meant we could actually light up any machine and have our full operating environment with the technologies that we know how to use. I have a ton of confidence in Cirrus Insight and in Microsoft Office 365. And this is because they're opening their environment for more small, nimble, creative organizations to put great technology on their stack. Things will only get better and only be faster. And we're excited about what's to come.
So, not too bad. We put that together in about 3 weeks. We had a very engaged partner. We had a very engaged customer. But the point is, this is a kind of video that you could promulgate around the world. You could subtitle it or dub it. And this could be telling your story in boardrooms and in sales meetings all around the world without you having to have any salespeople in market in those areas, if you're willing to support, of course, in the local language. What you also get with these sites are things like social. So you can have viral awareness of these videos. So you could have Twitter, Facebook, email, LinkedIn, Yammer. You also, of course, if you have a solution in the Office store, it will link to your solution from these storytelling pages. You can go to your own partner's site. You can have white papers and case studies that you can embed in the site. All of this is free. If you know, we definitely, again, it's not a high-scale model yet, but we want to get there, where this solution becomes something that you can provide, and it's really kind of a cool bragging rights to be able to show. So that's the first investment we're making, is videos and social, and we want to, again, embed this across a whole bunch of surfaces inside Microsoft and turn on the Microsoft machine so SMB people out in the field and later EDU can tell your story just by hitting play. The second investment we're making on the awareness front is increased in product discoverability. And this is something that was featured quite a bit in a lot of the other presentations, so I'm not going to dwell on this too much, except to point out it's not just about your solution showing up in product, it's also about the store being more prominent. So if you look here, this is what's going the Office Outlook is going to look like and within the next month or two. Both Office Outlook 15 and 16 will have the store button right on the home ribbon of the home page. Of course, there was also an announcement at Build about rolling out the app model, the add-in model, I should say, across Office for iOS, Office Online, Outlook.com, a consumer product with 400 million users. And so the proliferation of the add-in model across all of our surfaces is going to just accelerate the number of folks who are learning about and using these solutions that you're building. One thing that I want to call out, this is the first call to action on your part, though, is to appear in these new surfaces. You generally have to update your manifest if you have a solution in the Office store or you want to submit one. You need to use the JS 1.1 in the manifest. Otherwise, it will not appear. So that's just a word of caution. And also what's been announced at Build is the fact that the store is coming to the Office 365 tenant experience as well. So right now, it's showing up here. You click on the waffle, which is the app launcher, and then you click My Apps, and you have a toggle between My Apps and the store. But what's coming in a matter of weeks, actually, is we're going to actually put a store tile right within the app launcher itself. So imagine every day 50 million people logging on to Office 365 in a commercial setting, and they're looking for their Outlook, or they're looking for Word, Excel, to go, what's that red thing on the far end there, a store? What is that? Now, of course, the admin of the tenant has to be willing to turn that on. But for those who are open to having user acquisition, or at least user awareness of the store, that's going to really light up awareness, we think, of the fact that these add-ins exist. And, you know, again, awareness is a big part of, that's the first battle, is making everyone know that these things exist. So the next investment, and this has already happened, actually, global expansion. As of February, the Office store is now available in every market where office.com itself is localized. It's 60 storefronts, 39 supported languages, plus English, so 40, really. And it's not just the UI of the storefront itself, so the Spanish store is in Spanish, and the French store is in French, obviously, the French store. But it's in local currency as well in many cases. So it's in euro, or it's in real, or whatever the local currency be. Not in all cases, but in many cases. It follows the same pattern as Office commerce in general, the first-party commerce. And mostly the new countries are in Eastern Europe, in Southeast Asia, the Indian subcontinent, as well as some smaller countries in Europe. But we now have pretty much full coverage in most parts of the world. Not North Korea, sorry about that. But pretty much most major markets in the world, you can sell an add-in. If you can sell Office, you can sell an add-in into it. But it's not enough, actually, to have a localized storefront. You need products in that storefront too, right? You want to see a French language add-in in the French store. And so we have had some success in getting our add-ins localized, but we want to accelerate that process. We want to have hundreds of foreign add-ins in these foreign stores. So we are partnering with Lionbridge. We have a representative on the front row here, Steve, who's happy to talk to you afterwards, where we are collaboratively helping our partners to build localized versions. It's not just a matter of localizing the strings and localizing the UI of the app itself and the metadata listing in the store. It's architecting your solution such that it's modular. You can quickly swap a new language in and out without having to rewrite the code. They're piloting at Build with two customers, Office at Work, a Swiss company, and iGlobe CRM, and they actually localized it for them in up to 11 languages. We'll have a quick demo of that in just a second. So the Lionbridge, I know we're almost at the end of the show, but Lionbridge is still out there on this floor in booth 214. If you fill out a survey, you get 10% off your first localization exercise. So now we're going to see a quick demo of how to acquire. This is going to be a combined demo here. Let's see. Okay. So this is my dev tenancy. We're going to see this is going to be a combined demo of both acquiring a 365 solution, but also one that's been localized by Lionbridge. So I go to my app launcher. I go to my apps. Again, this is not yet live in production, but it will be very soon. I click store. That's where the store is exposed today. Again, it'll be in the app launcher very soon itself. And then here's a list of curated 365-level solutions that have piloted with us to illustrate this feature. There's my mail responder app. That's from the Office at Work team. I click add. And now it's going to install it into my 365 tenancy because it's registered with Azure AD. There's the permissions, the common consent. I have to wait a second. Okay, yes, it is taking longer than expected. okay, and then typically there's a little bit of a lag time before it shows up. So I'll just explain, when you have your third-party solution showing up in the app launcher of 365, again, where 50 million people do their work every day, the first-party stuff will be above the line, this little hairline. All the third-party stuff will be below. And what users can do is they can selectively say, you know what, I want to put that in, I want to pin that to my app launcher so it shows up when I click the waffle. So you have kind of a larger pool of stuff down here, and then you can pin them at one level up so you can quickly launch them. So let's hit refresh and see if it shows up yet. And there it is. There's the mail responder app installed. And I am going to, in fact, pin it to my app launcher. Okay. And now I can launch it. So I go to the waffle. There's the mail responder app. Again, the store button will be right here when that goes live. And now I'm launching my mail responder app. And what this app does, I keep saying app, I need to say, actually this is a 365 level, so this is an app. What this solution does is it creates an out-of-office autorespond, but it does it in multiple languages. This is where Lionbridge came in. So I can respond, if I work across multinational locations, I can respond in multiple languages and set that up. And they have a set of templates that generate an out-of-office message in multiple languages without me having to know anything about those languages. So I pick Spanish, which I know a little bit about, and Chinese, which I don't. I'm going to have I can delay the response. Maybe I'm not leaving for a couple of days, but here I'm going to do it immediately so I can demo it. And I'm going to do it in an event out-of-office. And the event just so happens to be build. So I'm going to do build. I'm going to go over here and say I'm going to be in San Francisco. And I don't actually know the build URL, but I'll just fake one. Okay. And then there's a whole bunch of choices down here. When am I back in the office? I'm certain to be back, or I'm most likely to be back. I will have limited access to email. I will check email sporadically. I am, in fact, in my time zone since I live in Seattle. And then, you know what, in the case of my unavailability, please call my, I wish I had a personal assistant, but I'm going to call him Joe Dude, and he's going to be joe@dude.com. And then I could have an emergency contact at the bottom, like my wife. And then I can actually, I'll put in my title. Okay, and I actually can specify a different out-of-office response for my internal, my colleagues, as well as outside people who don't work on my company. I hit submit. And then I go to the top. And then here is the templates that it's generated. It's generated all this text using a template. And again, it's done it in three languages, it's done the ones I specified. There's English, there's Spanish, and there's Chinese. So now I'm going to go, and I'm going to send an email to this address because I want to test how this works. So I go to my box and I create a new email and I'm going to send it to my buddy, me. I'm going to say, how you doing? Because I'm from Philly. And I hit send. And I just wait a second. So I've now sent an email to the account that has the Mail Responder app installed. And there it goes. And a response that says, thank you for your email message, blah, blah, blah. I'm at Build in San Francisco. I have limited access. All the configuration settings I just made. My deputy is Joe Dude. I got to meet that guy. And here's his contact information, et cetera. And again, it's in Spanish, and it's also in Chinese. And if I clicked on that, because we have Bing Maps integration, automatic, it's built in. It's not even an add-in you have to install. It would actually show a map of San Francisco. If I'd put in Moscone Center, it would show you the exact building we're in right now, all within the body of that email. But the cool thing is, the way they built this with Lionbridge, they could plug in another language like that, because all they did was they sent a bunch of text files that were localized, and they sent a bunch of JSON files that had all the call-outs to what the field names are. So the gentleman, Martin Seifert, who's a CEO, he actually was kind enough to send me a sample. And so here is the actual JSON file for Russian. And it's just basically a page of JSON. And you could do another language and install it, and suddenly you'd have 12 languages instead of 11. So those are some of the things we're doing, some of the investments we're making around helping you localize your solution. We're also talking potentially about a larger partnership next year. We actually provide some investment around localization. There's nothing to announce on that front, but we definitely see them as a valuable partner, so please go talk to them. They've been doing this for quite some time. Okay. So I think I'm going to go back to my deck now. The last thing we're showing here, and this is more of a short-term thing, is the App Awards. This is the last awareness investment. Until May 10th, which is only 9 days away, we recognize, not a lot of notice. You probably saw these red cards floating out in all the booths out on the first floor. Any solution that's been published in the store between January 1st and May 10th, or is nominated by May 10th, will be considered for one of the 14 awards we're handing out this year. And this year we're doing a 365 solution, we're doing a mobile solution. We also have a very interesting category where if ISVs can actually document that a lead from the store generated a significant deal, and it's not only monetarily significant, but it opened a new market or it opened a new vertical, we will document those. We will respect your privacy. We'll do it in a way that you're comfortable. But we will call that out at the App Awards in Orlando, Florida, at the Worldwide Partner Conference, and we'll also promote these solutions in the store for a significant amount of time, as well as there'll be prizes, and it'll be a big celebration. So it's another way to increase visibility of your solution. So those are the four investments we're doing on the awareness front. In terms of futures, we're going to do a lot more. We're going to embed add-ins in demos. We're going to have them featured in executive briefing centers. There's a whole getting started set of tools when you first sign up for Office 365. We want add-ins in that experience, and that's something that I'm personally tasked with doing. And also, my colleague up here, we're also embed in Visual Studio, or have as part of the Visual Studio tools, the ability to do auto-translation of solutions. And actually, we were hoping to demo it, but there's not enough time in the presentation, so I apologize. But if you want to talk to him about auto-translation tools, he's here as well. Okay. Calls to action for awareness. Update your manifest to 1.1 so that you can, in fact, have these show up in the new surfaces like iOS and Office Online, the free client that anyone in the world can get to. Build a web app to show up in the app launcher, register with Azure AD. Localize your add-in, talk to Lionbridge, or do it yourself. And finally, nominate your add-in for an app award. The second investment of three that we're going to talk about today is best practices and web bridges around, and this is all around trial. So you now have people aware of your solution. How do you get them to use it? And we have two major investments here. One is best practices, and another one is a streamlined acquisition flow. So we're going to do a demo very quickly. This is actually, I think, the most interesting thing in the whole presentation, because this is actual code to help you make your solutions engage with the customer and get them to convert from a trial to a purchase. And so we have built, with the help of the folks, some of the folks in the room, an add-in that shows you all sorts of tips and tricks, and it's just sample code that you can copy and paste into your solution. It's been vetted for security and correctness. There's a proper license header on it to help you engage, and you'll see in a second. You want a lead gen from trials? This add-in helps you get there, the sample code, which is published both on GitHub now, as well as it's available and behind an invisible code inside the store, as you'll see. And that's an additional thing we're announcing today, store preview. And this is something that a lot of our developers have been asking for, meaning, hey, the first time I see the add-in in the store is when it gets published, and it looks, I don't like it. The colors are wrong, the font's too big, or whatever. It's glitchy, I want to change it, and now you have to republish it. Well, with the preview, you can stick it in there, you can share out a code, you can designate a code in the seller dashboard during the ingestion process, and then you can share out that code to just a few friends and family and let them see it and say, you know, maybe that screenshot is it's a little blurry. Can you, you know, upgrade the quality of your imagery in the listing? But we're going to use a preview as well to communicate with you for things like this code sample. So let's do a demo of that. So let's see. I'm going to go to the store, and then I'll switch over. Okay, so I am on the store now. And hello, how about that? There's a banner for the App Awards on the homepage of the store until May 10th. We got to get it down then, Keith. I heard there's this really cool sample code that helps me monetize my customers, and it's called the Contoso app. And so I look for Contoso, the search engine looks around, it says, sorry, no results found. Well, that's because it's hidden behind this thing called Office Preview. And so I happen to know what the code is, which is code build 15. So I click that, and boom, voila, there is the sample code that only a developer who is part of the program and has been told, look for it here, can get. And the nice thing is because it's in the store, as opposed to out on GitHub, all the licensing tooling is already installed, so you don't have to get a sample license. You don't have to wire it up to use it in your own IDE. You just use the store engine, which is kind of a nice thing. Saves time, makes it more simple. So here's an additional innovation. It used to be when you installed SharePoint and Outlook apps, or add-ins, I should say, you had to know what site to install it to. So you had to go to your SharePoint site and root around and look for it, and then say, okay, this is where I want to stick it in. Now they've created a SharePoint site picker right within the store acquisition flow. So you click, okay, I want to acquire this SharePoint. And this will be true not just for sample solutions. This will be true for SharePoint solutions in general, commercial go-to-market products in the store. And I can pick the site that I want to install it to right within the flow. I don't have to go anywhere. I hit continue, and it gives me a buy or try. I'm going to try it. It's a trial. That's kind of the whole point. And it says, well, I'm not sure you have the right to this. What's that code again? So I put that in. Whoops. If I could type. All right. So there's the code. It's now installing it. Okay. And now it's installed to my team site, which was the site I picked in the site picker. There it is. It's my most recently installed solution. And here is the landing page, I hope. Yeah, here's the landing page for this is the sample code solution. Now, again, if you're installing this into your IDE from GitHub, which is fine, that works too. You'll have to mess around with a test license. We can skip that step here and go right into trying out the sample app. And the point is, this is a terrible app. It doesn't really do anything. It's vaporware. The point is, though, it lights up functionality that you can copy and paste into your solutions. That's the whole point of this thing. So as you see here, it greets you with, hey, this is a trial. It'll probably be some crippled functionality. You may have to reveal some personal information, and it's only demo data. So it's basically setting you up to understand. So that's an example of something you can do. And the first thing that happens when you start, this is now you've done the consent, you've left the Microsoft servers, you're now serving up your code, if it's a provider hosted. Now it says, hey, I want to know a little bit about you, and it pops in your an HTML form. And it lets you enter some personal information, which is both good for you, because you now have some demographic data about the people who are trying out your solution, and it's good for the user, because you can tailor the demo or tailor the trial to the business they're in, or whatever kind of other metric you want to segment by. And it can also populate this with sample data. Then it pops a form saying, I'd like your email address, please. And you can make that a required thing, like some of our ISV partners actually do, or you can make it optional. And so here it's optional, so you could skip it, but you say very nicely, well, if you give us your email address, we're going to send you a newsletter, we're going to help you out with tips and tricks. You sweeten the pot a bit by telling the user, if you give me a little bit of information about yourself, I will help you through this trial. So I say, okay, I'll do that. So I'm just going to make up an address for now. You can have enforcement, of course, on your end. And the first thing it does is when I consent to giving my email address is it pops a video. So it basically says, welcome to my trial. Here's how this whole thing works. And so I'm going to skip it for now. There is actually no video. And now I'm in the actual experience. And if you look closely, it says things like outpatient follow-up and phlebotomy. Because I remember I said I was a member of the medical community. So it's showing me scenarios that are familiar to me because it particularized the demo to who I am based on what I told during the sign-up. And now I'm going to create a couple of calendar events. So I'm going to say, I'm a surgeon, so I'm going to cut and sew. All right. Literally. And then I'm going to open that surgical wound, and then I'm going to close it. So these are obviously just fanciful calendar events. But here's what happens. I've done two things in this sample, and now it pops a little toast. And it says, hey, you've been using this for a little while. What do you think? And this is brilliant for two reasons. Number one, you immediately start engaging them in a conversation. But even more importantly, if they're annoyed and they're not happy, what happens is, they will click that button, and it went away, but they will click that button, and it'll pop an email form, and if they click it right away, and it'll send the response to the ISV directly such that they don't enter an angry or crabby review. So you bleed off the negative feedback, and you send it right to yourself, and you wait for them to use it for a while. You essentially have a sort of a customer support engagement, and only then later do they submit the review. So up here, if they want to write a review, they can. It takes them right into the review engine in the store. If they want to buy, who are we to stop them from buying during the trial? That's not a bad thing. So it takes them right back to the purchase page. If they want to learn more about it, again, you can have a particular video that's even context-based. And if they say, well, who else has bought this thing and what do they think? Well, maybe you have a storytelling video that you want to link to. So again, it's a way of engaging the user to assure them that there's all sorts of goodness that they can get, I'm going to close out some of these windows, by trying this sample. And then, of course, the features of the solution itself. So, for example, contacts. Well, this is an appointment scheduler, so you're going to need to have some contacts stored. Here it explains how the contact thing works, but it also notes that you only get up to 10 clients for free. If you want more than that, you have to upgrade. So essentially, you tease them with some functionality, but then you also say, if you really love this feature, here's a way for you to buy the full solution. And then some you just say flat out, you know what, this is a premium feature. You have to upgrade to get this feature. But you expose it so that the user is really pulled in and wants to engage. Now, all this stuff may be like, I know this, I do this, this is fine. But many people starting out in this build once and sell many, don't have this go-to-market mentality. They're used to doing custom engagements, statements of work, you pay it, you transfer the IP. Here you're trying to build a solution that you get people just far enough down the path that they want to buy. And then you begin to learn because you have this engagement with them. You get smarter about what works and what doesn't. So the trial itself is like a test launch and makes you a smarter marketer. So that's the scheduler and the store preview. Two things I was showing there. Let's see what I have next. The last thing on trial is simpler store acquisition. And we already saw that with SharePoint with the site picker. There's also the same functionality, as we'll see in just a second, with mail. And it's kind of like, well, we should have been doing that all along. Fair enough. We are finally doing it. But the key point is, now that we have this streamlined acquisition flow for our server-based solutions, it makes much more sense to begin to drive people to the store through things like banner ads and LinkedIn, or just a button on your homepage of your website to say, click here to download this solution. They can go in there unauthenticated, and they're not immediately said, go over there and sign in and go figure out where to install it. You can do all that right through the flow of the store. So, I should be using my thing here. So here's a demo. I'm going to do this right within the body of the PowerPoint. Wait, I think I have to do over here. Yeah, so this is just a button which you can acquire from us. It's all brand approved by our legal folks. If you want it localized, let us know. We can get it localized. And essentially, it takes you right to the Insightly listing in the store. One thing I want to point out is we now have embedded video. That wasn't something we had before. We only had links out to video. So through an experiment, we discovered definitely videos embedded drives a lot more engagement. So that's something that Insightly has added. And then I go to install. And you can see right here, it's taking me to my Outlook web solution, my Outlook web app, directly. It's not, again, making me go find it and install it there. So I click it. Oops. I have to sign in. Very long name. Okay. Hope this works. Because some of these things are in preview, it's temperamental. Cookies expire and you have to renew them. That's what happens in production. That shouldn't be the case. Okay, so there's the installation, there's the consent. Come up. Okay, and now it's added that solution to Outlook. So now I have to switch back to my tenancy, and I can see right here, if I click on an email, there's my Insightly waiting for me to pull in a contact. Now, I don't actually have my Insightly account isn't current, but if it were, it would look for contacts within the body of the email, and it would pull those contacts right into my CRM solution. So the point is, whether it's SharePoint or just the regular Word, Excel, PowerPoint, or it's Outlook, any of our solutions, it now makes sense to begin putting some of these buttons right within your experience. Whoops. Okay. It's now not liking that. Okay. Yeah. So we definitely recommend that you put the store button within your experience, within your website. Okay, trial futures. One last thing, and we're going to move on to the final phase, and that is streamlined reviews. We know the reviews definitely drive engagement. No one wants to click on a solution and add it in the store that has zero reviews that's been in the store for 3 years. Clearly, that's kind of a lonely place. And so we realized we weren't really optimizing the number of reviews we were getting. So if there were reviews in the Spain site and the French site, we weren't aggregating the number of numerical ratings, that's no longer true. We will aggregate the number, but most importantly, you no longer have to actually enter a written review to enter a rating. So you can just drag across the number of stars and hit go, and that will register as a rating. So ratings will become much more common in the store, and we're putting the reviews at the very top of the listing so that people see reviews high up on the page. So that's also coming. Trial calls to action. Get that direct link to your add-ins and use best practices sample. The last thing is engagement. And just, we have three quick things we're going to show, and that'll pretty much take us to the finish line. The first thing is our drip email campaign. I don't know how many of you have signed up. Has anyone signed up for the developer program? Yes? No? Okay, we got a few. Definitely encourage you to do that. One of the benefits you get for signing up is if you don't have an in-house outbound email campaign like Marketo or MailChimp, these guys, a small, nimble startup, it's a pretty terrific solution, very super easy to use, but pretty robust. We have partnered with them to provide a free one-year subscription to the Drip account. And what it does is it creates automatic outbound emails. So if you remember all those emails we're harvesting in the sample app, that code you can stick into your own solution, then you can plumb those emails into something like Drip, and you can schedule outbound emails on day 1, 3, 5, 30 to say, hey, welcome, how's it going, what do you think? And then towards the end of the trial, if it is a trial, you can say, hey, it's expiring, do you want to buy? If it's free, you can also check to see if they've used it in the last week or month and kind of poke them and say, we've noticed you haven't been using it for a while, why not? So if the marriage of the sample code and the best practices solution with Drip really now gets you a true go-to-market engine for people. And it's very simple. You can just paste in JavaScript snippets. We're going to do a very quick demo here to show you that. Okay, so we're halfway down the Drip dashboard. I'm going to create a brand new campaign. It's just a trial account I have. And I need to call it something. And what this campaign is targeting is a particular website. So if you have an app on a website, hosted on a website, or just your homepage of your actual ISV website, you would target it here. So it's going to call it gymapp.com. It's making something up. Now, of course, later downstream, you'll have to actually tie it, but we're not going to do that. And you can either have a campaign that harvests emails, or I'm sorry, harvests user activity if they're going just to your website and driving by, or if you're engaging in a trial. We're going to do this because this is most like the trial for a solution, an app solution. And we don't have any of these e-commerce engines. Yes, we have a trial for this add-in. And you've now pretty much configured it. The only two steps left, really, there's three steps. The Drip minions are busy. All you have to do is install this JavaScript snippet into each page of your solution. And that way, it captures people coming in, and it captures that behavior. So you can do analytics later right on the Drip account. And then here we would have to check for the code to make sure the snippet is installed on the website. But since I haven't done that, in the interest of time, I'm going to finish the demo. Whoops, didn't want to start a new PowerPoint. Sorry about that. I'm going to go back to my slideware and finish the demo there. Okay. So after you've installed the snippet to capture analytics, you then install some API hooks. It can either, again, just be as simple as a JavaScript copy and paste. There is also a REST API and an ASP.NET API. There's one other, there's a wrapper as well that was just released at Build. Rob Walling is downstairs, at least he has been the first 2 days from Drip. We're releasing a video that basically walks you through how to do this. It's really simple. So you just basically, you do two things. You paste in the JavaScript snippet for analytics, and then you do this right after the user has given you their contact information, and that's what shoots it into Drip. And you now have captured all that information in an email campaign engine, and you activate the account, and this is really the money shot right here. It's a form you fill out where you schedule the outbound communication. You can have all sorts of if-then statements. You can track if they respond. And you can do this for multiple campaigns. So effectively, Drip lets you, with very little effort and free for the first year, take all your samples, your customers harvested via the code in the sample app, and plumb it into their system, and now you have an outbound campaign. Again, large ISVs, they probably already have this. But for small folks, this is something that they don't have, and many of our partners had to build themselves and figure it out over quite some time and some painful expenditures. We're now providing that to you as part of our services. And then one other thing for engagement, and if you went to Andrew Salamatov's talk about Outlook.com solutions, we are now enriching the surfacing of add-ins in the ribbon post-purchase. We showed before the store button before purchase. Now if you acquire them, we're going to enable you to pin your solution on multiple tabs, depending on the client, whether it's Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Outlook is going first. They're in the lead. And you can also specify in the manifest that you want to actually pop a custom tab just for your app. So the gym app has its own tab within the client, and you can have multiple commands on that. I think it's up to 66 is what Andrew said for Outlook. He recommended please don't put 66 commands in the tab. It'll probably get the program shut down. So be, you know, you want to be responsible, you want to be respectful. But the point is, now we're starting to take these add-ins and insert them as first-class citizens in our ribbon. Right along with all the tools that we provide first party, your add-ins can actually show up in Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook. Again, the time frame, Outlook is going first, and then the other clients are going to follow in the summer and into the fall. And we're going to focus on Office 16, which is coming out in June at first. But the point is, your solutions will begin to surface, again, in 365 Tenant as well as in the ribbon very prominently. The last thing I'm going to show you on the engagement side, because I know we're almost out of time, is templates. And we've had templates for a long, long time, going back probably to Office 2000. And these were things like create a gift card for grandma in Word and really basic consumer-y kinds of things. We're leveraging that technology now to help explain and increase engagement with third-party solutions. Because imagine 2,000 solutions in the store. It's like, I don't know what this does. And, you know, this is scary, and I've never seen these before. And how does it work? And, oh, it's just, the learning curve is terrible. These templates can help reduce that friction and that reluctance to try something new by showing people how it works. And so, and the nice thing is these templates don't even require you have Office at all, because they work in Office Online, the free client, as well as in the rich client, the paid for version or the Office 365 Enterprise, you know, the business tenancies. So we're gonna do a quick demo of that, show how that works. Let me get that queued up here. I think I actually can do it right here, okay. And so this is taking you to, again, this is a pre-production environment of the store, and there's this new blue button here called Demo. I click on that. It says, welcome to Excel Online. Please don't make me sign in. Ah, okay. All right. I'm not used to typing on a keyboard standing up. Okay. So it logs me into, so you see it's Excel Online, which is free. And now it's installing the template. And what this template has done is it essentially has a bunch of sample data embedded in it, and it interacts with the add-in automatically and renders this graph. This is a graphing solution. And so it shows you how it works in real life. And so the user essentially gets a pre-taste of how this actually works. And they get a sense of you know, what they can do with it. And if you want to learn more about it, it tells you how to get it, how to launch it. You can click here, and it takes you back to the store so you can actually acquire it. So again, templates is a way of increasing engagement once the user is interested and aware, and to get them to adopt your solution more readily. All right. Futures. The developer platform evangelism team, formerly called DPE, now called DX, we love to rename things, they have over the last year significantly ramped up their investment in recruiting Office partners. Before it was all about Windows and Windows Phone. Office has stepped up and invested many millions of dollars to also get them to recruit, co-develop, and co-market Office solutions. And this year, we told them it's not enough to get them. You know, that's actually the easier part. The hard part is we want to make sure that people are using them, they're downloading them, and they're using them. And so we are pushing them, and they have agreed to adopt as a KPI metric, key performance indicator, that this year they're going to start measuring usage. And there'll be discussions about it, very uncomfortable ones. If we're spending millions of dollars signing up a bunch of fine folks like yourselves, but no one's using the solution. So we are taking a personal commitment to making sure that these solutions are actually used when they're acquired. And then the store itself, this is a personal goal of mine. I don't think it's actually plan of record, but I'm going to be pushing for it, to make the store much more interactive. So you can respond to reviews. There can be discussion forums. And there's ways to do that that's fairly low friction. That is something that I know is on the ask list and has been for some time from some of our partners. So that's an example of some of the engagements that we're going to be growing on. And then calls to action. Link your trial app to a drip campaign or some other, if you have another campaign in-house already, link it there. Implement the app commands when they come available, starting again with Outlook 15 and 16 in May and June, well, this month, actually. And then consider adding templates when that feature goes live. It's an experiment right now. So we're out of time. That's perfectly fine because I don't have a lot to say on the last two rungs of the funnel. This is what we'll be investing going forward in the next year, which is org ID-based purchase, channel reselling. You know, we have a global reseller network. We don't really have the architecture on the commerce side and the entitlement side, the catalog side. A lot of plumbing has to be changed, but there's definitely intent and work going on to make that happen. We don't have a timeline. We don't have exactly the rules of how it will work. But we know that many, many people buy Office through a channel. They're not buying it direct because they want volume discounting. They want help and support. So we say, why not the same for our third-party reseller, our third-party solutions? And then better usage analytics and things like bundles and stuff like that. So this is more aspirational. I want to be very clear. We don't have a timeline for this. Today's talk was all about the first three rungs, the first three layers of the funnel. So that's it. I think I only was over by a minute or so, and I started a minute late, so I'm going to count that as a win. Remember to engage. The 365 network is a great place to get questions answered. So is Stack Overflow for the really gnarly stuff. User Voices, where you input concerns and feature asks. And then we have Twitter and podcasts. We have MVP interviews and Microsoft engineers, Office engineers interviewed. And please submit a review as well. So thank you for your attention. Again, I know it's been a long conference, and I really appreciate you spending the time with me today. Thank you.